Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal.
Are we not the bestest of friends already?
Only in media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. It's fine, all right? Everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's great. I'm great. Mark, how are you?
Well, I'm sensing panic and frustration in your voice.
It's sort of like an old friend, you know? Someone you maybe haven't seen in a little while coming back into town. It's like, oh, hello. Hello, power play that can't score a goal. Hello, more than one game losing streaks. Hello, being able to lose close games to good teams and bad teams alike. You know, it's just kind of a we're back in an era of the stars that I thought was past us.
Well, and the interesting thing is that this is exactly what Boston fans were saying 2 weeks ago, right before they played the Stars. And now they've righted the ship and all is good again. So is this a different kind of panic than we're used to, or is this just hockey?
I think for me, and jokes aside, I don't think that it's a different kind of panic. I would say that it's a persistent kind of panic in that, sadly, some of the secondary scoring has become an issue. The power play has dried up. The team is still staying in games, right? But they're fine. And these are problems that have been with the Stars in previous iterations, previous seasons, right? I mean, how many times did we lament the Dallas Stars power play under Rick Bonus, right? So I think that your Boston example is very well taken. It's a very long season, 82 games. Teams stumble, stagger. Good ones get themselves upright again. You know, this is still a team that is, despite, you know, the week that was, they've fallen to second, oh no, in the Western Conference, but, you know, points percentage 6-3-2. This isn't a wheels are coming off scenario, but I think for fans, what's really resonating is we've seen this team go through stretches in the past where they, you know, kind of shrug and try and celebrate moral victory losses, like the, you know, the losses to Boston and Tampa Bay, which, hey, you know what? They got a point out of those two games. They were less than a minute away from getting, you know, something more out of Tampa Bay. So it's not entirely inappropriate to, inappropriate to agree and say, hey, those are great teams. Those were tough losses. It happens. But then you counterbalance those with, like, they struggled again against Anaheim. They lost to Minnesota and they lost to Columbus. Right. And so it's one of those situations where we've seen this team have these problems before. And so our panic when we see these kind of symptoms manifest is it's not just like a one off stretch. It's like, oh, no, is this a full on reversion we're looking at?
Right. And I guess I have two things to say. I mean, one, I saw this thing going around.
Two things. We got a podcast to record, my friend.
Oh, I can go on for a half hour on one thing. You know that. But here, I saw on the on Twitter this morning, the Stars record in the last 9 games is 2-2-5. They've gotten 9 points in the last 9 games, which is 500. It's not great. It's not going to get you in the playoffs, but it's not a disaster. But if you just take overtime and you swap this major losing ability that we have and turn that into a winning ability, that number turns into 6-2-1. And then you have 13 points out of the last 9, and that's solid, you know, top of the conference point percentage. So some of this may just be driven by the fact that we suck at overtime and we're getting there a lot. And that kind of takes me to the second point, which is that, you know, we're kind of back. That there was this time early on in the season where the puck was going in the net and we were not turtling in the third. Mm. And boy,
those were the days.
It was kind of fun. And this team has kind of reverted, at least on the scoreboard, to being Stars team that we're comfortable with, which is it's tight going into the third. There's always the worry that they're going to turtle and they're going to make it to overtime. And then the overtime problems just get exacerbated.
Yeah. You spend most of a game seeding momentum, and it's a tough thing to actually talk about, you know, stats wise, but there is something to be said for you play for the point. So you tell everybody, slow it down, muck it up, you know, protect the goal, do the little things, right? And then all of a sudden you get into 3-on-3, like, okay, so I know that we just spent the last 20 minutes playing low event hockey and trying to keep this thing close, you know, keep the shackles on it. Well, now let's just do something entirely different.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I have my own theory on that, which is we make it to 3-on-3, we suck at 3-on-3. So let's just get through 3-on-3, get to the shootout, and you have Sagan, you have Pavelski, you have Robo. These guys are going to score goals. You're going to win more in the shootout than you're going to lose. So let's just get to the shootout and be done with it.
I don't disagree with that. We talked, I think, last podcast, my own pet theory about the way that Dallas's elite players play lends itself more to 5-on-5 kind of traditional hockey, and their skill is underrepresented in 3-on-3 overtime because of the emphasis on skating and transition at the individual level, as opposed to the team level, which Dallas seems to do most of its damage when it's, you know, kind of coherent parts functioning as a whole versus some guy gets the puck, takes somebody wide. You know what I mean? Like you generate chances more individually in overtime, in my experience. And I know system has something to do with it, but it seems like that plays into what you're saying. Well, we're not, you know, the team is not catering to, the team is not built to do that well anyways. So they might as well play for the shootout.
Well, and here, this may just be something that we're going to realize and say, you know what? That was a lot of John Klingberg. And Klingberg was a 3-on-3, you know, superstar.
Yeah.
And we don't have him anymore. And so that's a huge core to what we were successful with last year. And it's something that we haven't replaced yet this year. And fine, I don't know that we need to replace it. We do need to find ways to win games in regulation, apparently, because overtime is going to get us 1 point.
Yeah, so. I think that's a really good way to put it. I think his role, because of, and I say this as a huge Klingberg fan, right? Because of some of the warts that have developed in his game lately, it obscures that he is a player that does certain things fantastically well. And the you know, we forget that sometimes looking at what has happened in Anaheim and kind of what he has become in situations where the things that he struggles with are more kind of emphasized than the things that he excels at.
Right. And to tell you the truth, I've seen Anaheim play in overtime, and John Klingberg's a stud at Anaheim in 3-on-3 too. So yeah. There's just a lot to it. I mean, the thing that concerns me now is apparently we're trying enough so that we have Luke Glendening taking the opening faceoff in overtime, and that seems to be a way to get him injured. So
what's that loss gonna do to the team, do you think?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because this team has been so locked into what its rotation is and trying to find that last part within the core group, because that's all you had to play with. And Boxa on the fourth line with the two Freddies. If you go take a look at Natural Stat Trick, that was the best forward group on the ice against Columbus. I mean, they had great chances. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those chances ended up being Radek Foxa, and we didn't bury them. But they were not bad.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw as well the Sacred Cow, the first line, finally got broken up a little bit against Columbus. Sorry, I did not mean to transition so abruptly. So,
No, we're talking the fourth line, so transition all you want.
But it is interesting, though. It's the classic kind of lamentation of the fourth line playing well, and it's you're generating good chances, and you love to see it. But at the end of the day, they're generating good chances for Radek Foxa, and not to slight the man, but you know, that's a 7-goal scorer through 57 games this season. So it's one of those situations where there's only so much that you can generate from players with different roles, let's say, diplomatically.
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's they perform their function, and if they perform their function well, then they break even, they cause a little chaos, and they force the other team to concentrate more on, you know, getting out of their zone than they need to, which sets up your other lines, which are going to be the ones that score.
Yeah.
And here, you know, the problem that we're having right now is not related to the fourth line. It's related to the fact that we can only score two goals a game. And you really have to put that on Prince, Pavelski, Robo.
In fact, I came prepared with a quick quiz.
Let's do it.
All right. How many goals does Joe Pavelski have in 2023?
Can't be a big number. I'm tempted to say zero, but I'm going to say two.
Two is the correct answer. I was going to give you Darian Hatcher as a hint. Yeah, he scored, and they both came against Calgary. He had two goals and an assist against the Flames. And before that, you have to go, he had another 3-point, he had a goal against San Jose on December 31st. It's really been, even if we extend this to December, since December, Pavelski has had four goals. And there are still assists, right? And he's had chances, and there's a lot of eye test stuff saying that this isn't like he's just, you know, decided to stop showing up for games, or his skates are on the wrong feet or something. You know, it's not that, but it is significant that the three-headed monster that was the Robertson Hintz Pavelski line has really turned into the Robertson Hintz line. And, you know, Rope is doing a little bit better. He's got he spent some time hurt, right? But he's got 1, 2, 3, 4. He's got four goals since the year turned. And that's really, he missed that chunk of games in the middle of January. So he's, performance-wise, holding much more closely to Jason Robertson, who's not obviously scoring at his, I'm going to co-lead the league with Connor McDavid pace, but is, still the goals are still there as far as Robertson is concerned. It's really, Pavelski's the guy that sort of lost the ability to put it in the back of the net, which maybe has something to do with the power play struggling, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, the power play, I think, is slightly different in that I think they've gotten a little more mechanical than they were earlier on in the year. And I mean, when this power play first got together, they were just whizzing that puck all over the place and the defense couldn't catch up to them. And now it seems that either through defenses cutting down some of those interior pass lanes or something, it's much more exterior, and we've started to rely a lot more on outside shots and just tips. And yeah, before we were zinging it from side to side, and we'd get some quick looks, and the puck would be on the tape, and the puck would be in the net before the goaltender had a chance to react, and that's just not happening
anymore. And one of the things that I have noticed watching them is it's not so much, and this is total like check the tape idiot stuff. I don't have the time or the video library to really back it up, but my impression, especially watching the last week's games, it's not so much that those cross ice angles are gone entirely, but I have many memories of the pass getting through, but it's bobbled, right? And there's, instead, to your point about being much more robotic and not as fluid, the puck will get through, but instead of getting through for a quick shot, something right on net, they're taking that extra moment to figure out, well, do I shoot? Do I pass? Do I have the puck steady? Like, and by that point, right in this league, the window is closed. And so it seems like it's that execution piece where the stuff that was helping them to this point, in my opinion, the shooting lanes, the pressure on the far side, like that, those opportunities remain. They can still get them. They're just not executing them quickly enough.
Right. And I haven't looked at it enough to say, is that puck just something, it's in the skates, or it's behind a little bit, so you can't just get it and release it. But yeah, there's a connection problem there. And even you take a look at Columbus, the whole team seemed disconnected. And there's a good reason you can say, it was the second day of a back-to-back with travel. So
a scheduled loss, right?
Yeah, it was a scheduled loss. But it was a scheduled loss against a beatable team. But
playing without Johnny Gaudreau as well. So it's one of those situations where, yes, it was a tough one, but it wasn't. Let's not pretend that Boston and Tampa Bay were back to backs, or even Columbus was firing at full cylinders. I think your point about this is the sort of game they should have won. And they, to your point about goal scoring, yeah, 4-1 is a kind of inflated scoreline because of, pulled goalies and the way that they, move towards the end. But they shouldn't have been stuck in a, low scoring slog with Columbus for as long as they were.
Yeah, and it seemed to me just that, there was a lot of hope in that game and not a whole lot of just process, move it up the ice, stay connected.
Mm-hmm.
It was you know, toss the puck out of the zone, go retrieve it. There was a lot more, I hate to say it, dump and chase than
we've become
a little more spoiled here to say, hey, we can transition the puck out of the zone and we can connect passes and we'll score off the rush. And if you're just tossing the puck like that, you're not going to score that way. And that's the way this team scores.
It seems like they're stuck in the classic sports problem of things are not going as well as they would like. There are some indicators when you look at, you know, shot totals and XG, and there are some things that suggest that it's not a situation where something has fundamentally broken, right? So you don't want to change too much, right? Because there really is an element of, you know, work through it, luck will come back. You know, there really is an element of that to what's going on. At the same time, you also don't want to not change and just, you know, you don't just want to be waiting for the puck to finally go in and get everything unstuck, because that's not really how it works either. And it seems like they're trying to find the right blend. And it's the first time, in my opinion, this season that this team has had to make that kind of adjustment. And it seems like right now they're stuck trying to decide how much of this do we fix with patience and how much of this do we fix with change.
Right. I mean, my view on this is always, you know, when things start going south and you don't really know why, you remember the movie Tin Cup where Roy McAvoy was on the driving range and he's just hitting Hazel rockets over to the right. And he asks, how do I fix this? And his caddy says, well, here, you move some coins from your left pocket to your right pocket. You do all this totally extraneous stuff and it gets your mind off of just being mechanical. And that, a lot of the motion, I think, is just straight that. You force people to pay attention to things like maybe, hey, I'm not scoring. I need to score. So I grab the stick a little tighter and I make that a point of emphasis. Yeah, just let it happen.
Yeah.
And hopefully 2 weeks from now, if, you know, all of a sudden you get a butt goal and things start going your way. You hit a bar and it goes in as opposed to out, and then you're back to normal. 2 weeks from now, we'll have a conversation and hopefully we're there. And if we aren't, then we need to dig in a lot deeper.
A message from the attorneys at Greening Law PC, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. If you have been hurt in a car accident, experienced malpractice from a physician, hospital, or were injured on the premises of a business, then call the lawyers at Greening Law. They have represented clients from car accidents to birth injuries to sexual assault cases involving clergy or hospitals. The staff at Greening Law, better known as the Green Team, fights your legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. You know, we talk a lot on this podcast about our fierce Dallas Stars. The Green Team is your fierce legal competitor against insurance companies. So what are you waiting for? Consultations are free. They only get paid if you get compensated. So give them a call at 972-934-8900. Again, that number is 972-934-8900. Call now. Principal office is located in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, and this is where I think the importance of coaching comes in, because at the player level, I agree. And this really is one of those, you focus on a couple of little things, try and get yourself going. At the player level, the mantra has to be, I'm doing fine. You know, keep work through it. I've scored before. I'll score again. You know, it's going to be okay. This is where the system stuff comes into play, is something I don't think at this point, and Saad had a great article on The Athletic a couple of weeks ago about how, okay, it was kind of a novelty earlier in the year, you know, right around New Year's. It was kind of a novelty. Yeah, the power play's having a little hiccup. It happens. No, whatever. The team has officially progressed, you know, and I don't think it's, you know, we talked at the top of the podcast, I don't think it's time to hit the big panic button. But I think we have officially progressed to the point where you can't just hand wave the power play and say, eh, it's a little bit cold, they'll pick it up. Like something has changed, either the way that unit is approaching things, the way that unit is being approached. I think that is the area where we really need the coaching staff to come in and do something, because it does appear that something is broken.
And the other thing I will say, I think there are some areas on this team right now where they aren't trusting each other to do their job. And there's a bit of overtry there. And I'm trying to think back which goal it was, but there was one where it was coming down. I think it might have been the Minnesota game, and it looked like there was speed coming at Ryan Suter, and so Yanni Hakanpää cheats toward the center because he thinks he's going to have to deal with somebody, you know, turning the corner on Suter. And because he, and this
which in fairness, that is something at this point in the season that they're probably starting to anticipate.
Right. No, understood. But it's still, you have to do your job first. And here with Hakanpaa, it was literally just one little skate move. But that one little skate move put him out of position on his guy who was coming down the other wing. And all of a sudden you have a pass over and it's a one-on-one on the goaltender and the puck's in the net. And it's that kind of thing where if you get away so far from your game where you're trying to make up for somebody else, then it's going to cause further breakdowns. And ultimately, you have to trust people to do their job. And if they aren't doing their job, then that's on the coaching staff to find somebody who can do that job. But you can't try and just fix it temporarily on the ice because that's going to just cause the whole system to break down.
Yeah, and you can't leave it to the individuals as well, right? Because then you have all of a sudden everybody takes one small step out of the structure and change kind of snowballs. And all of a sudden it's not just one small thing. It's everything has changed and broken.
Right, exactly. It's to say it's like, okay, the forecheck's not working. Well, we need to get more aggressive on the forecheck. So all of a sudden you have three forwards who are below the goal line and then the puck pops out and then you have odd man rushes going the other way. It's all, you know, if it doesn't, if the way it's supposed to work doesn't work, then let's deal with that. And here we're at a point right now where we have a little time to have some practice. And I think that might be good for this team because there are some things that they can work on in practice that they wouldn't do if they're just back-to-back-to-back games.
Yeah. I mean, there's the stretch, the back-to-back. They don't play again. We're recording Monday morning. They don't play again until Wednesday. Then it's Wednesday, Saturday, Monday to end the month of February. So there is now, we're starting to see some more open stretches on the calendar, which is a good thing for a team that has some, you know, maybe some tendencies have slipped and it's time to get back to work.
Right. And that may be just part of the problem right here is there has not been much practice time with the schedule over the last several weeks. Even though it's been home, it's been every other game and it's been really, really difficult games. So the practice time has probably slipped and we've gotten into some bad habits. And so bad habits can be fixed. And so no reason to be panicked, maybe a little reason to be frustrated, but frustration is kind of things that Stars fans are used to. We can deal with.
Yeah, I think there is every reason to be frustrated, and I would say there's a little bit of a reason to be worried because you know you do have, although they've, you know, Colorado is coming on strong, Winnipeg is in the conversation, right? There's some distance now. Minnesota's on the periphery. They might force their way back into it. Beating Dallas in regulation certainly helped. In the shootout certainly helped Dallas by keeping that gap a little bit, but it's in the Central, it's kind of turning into, you're starting to see Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado separate themselves, or rather starting to see Dallas remain separated, Winnipeg and Colorado catching up. And so it's the no, there's no panic because it seems very unlikely that they're going to tailspin to the point where the playoffs are any kind of serious question. But like, it's time to start looking at first round matchups. And is this a team, you know, you don't want a bad power play that you didn't fix to be the reason that you fall out of the top slot and have to start playing road games on the playoffs or get that 4-5 matchup or, you know, a tougher path.
Yeah. And I mean, more short term, what it causes you to do is to make some more serious considerations about what you're going to do at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And here, I don't think we have time enough today to start diving into that.
That's going to be, that'll be this week. Yeah. We'll record that one later this week.
Yeah, and so that's something that maybe we tee up here for the podcast later this week. But you know, I was full on stick with what you have up until a week or so ago, and now maybe the holes are starting to look a little bigger. And so let's see. But yeah, a lot of work to be done there. There's already been a lot of speculation on some things that frankly I find rather bizarre, but yeah, it's worth talking about.
And I know we'll wrap up here in just a minute, but as a teaser to the trade deadline conversation, we've talked at length about do you fix the defense or do you fix the offense, knowing that you probably can't do both. Has the last week of games changed your thinking on where Dallas should prioritize their resources?
Not really. I think that both the weaknesses stick around. I'm probably lean toward fixing the forward group as opposed to the defense, just because I think it's easier to do. But yeah, that's part of the discussion.
It's got to be, right? And you know, plus side is Jamie Benn still scoring. Wyatt Johnston, still contributing offensively. We got a Delandria goal. So good stuff is happening. It just feels like it's one of those situations where early in the season, a couple of good things were happening each game and the team was winning. And now we're down to they're rotating. Like one good thing, they'll get a good goaltending performance, or they'll get goals from depth players, but not the first, you know, it's nothing is coming together, I think, as it was earlier.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, I think one of the things that happens pretty quickly here is that we get a dominating performance by the top line, and that sets the world a little straight. Maybe one of the reasons that we're in the funk that we're in right now is that that top line hasn't been as dominating as they were early on in the season. And we became so accustomed to it, and it happened so naturally that you don't realize how important it was when it's gone. And it's not like they aren't contributing, but they aren't just absolutely dominating people like they were before.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it is a good challenge for that group. And that's what top lines do, right? That's what elite lines have to figure out, you know, and then all the usual suspects. Would be great to see a little bit more out of Sagan. The Mason Marchment goal watch continues, sadly. So it's there's some other stuff that needs to happen. But yeah, this, a lot of what's going on looks a lot more manageable. It honestly, just using last game as an example, without two waved off goals, all of a sudden we've got a, you know, three goal night from the top line and probably pretty comfortable victory for the Stars. So they just need to get back to there.
Okay. I think before we wrap up here, you gave me a trivia question. I'm going to give you one back.
Uh-oh. Let's do this.
We started talking about the fourth line and the Freddies. How did the Stars acquire Frederik Karlstrom?
It was, he wasn't a free agent, was he?
No, it was a trade.
Just, I have no idea, but just because he was in the building the other night, was it related to Trevor Daley at all?
No, but it does go back pretty close to that far.
Oh, okay. Was he in the Patrick Sharp deal?
No, it's a little earlier than that. In fact, you're not going to get this.
No, I'm not.
it goes back to a third round draft pick for the year 2016 that was part of the Jason Demers Brendan Dillon trade.
Oh wow. Okay. Wow. that takes me back.
Yeah. So anyway, you never know what those throwaway picks in those trades turn out to be.
You know, as in life, never throw anything away. Hoard.
Yep. If your Stars, it's got to be, you know, this was a third round draft pick. Load up on fifth round draft.
That's right. That's apparently where the money is.
Yep.
Well, it's a good talk. You know, hopefully Chicago will be something of a palate cleanser midweek, because Vegas on Saturday is shaping up the way they're playing lately. I think Vegas is on a five-game heater right now. So Vegas could be a real fun one. Nice little cross-divisional showdown. So hopefully they take care of business against the Hawks. Then they get Vegas. Vancouver should be an interesting stretch of hockey. And again, we'll talk midweek about the trade deadline. So be on the lookout, probably Friday drive time. I would imagine we'll have some news to share there. And Mark, as always, thank you for your insight. KT, for doing all the hard work in the background. And download, like, subscribe, do all of the stuff.
This podcast is sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.